Turn with me in your Bibles to the second chapter of Matthew. Last week we began the account of the advent of the King of Israel. We read his background, his genealogy. We read the manner of his birth. And in the second chapter, we come to that mysterious visit of the wise men from the east. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently at what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Here we have a very interesting and very strange story. It is one that has been lampooned. It is one that has been gainsaid. It is one that has been used by many to impugn the truth of the scriptures because there never was such a star. Astronomers have said there was no supernova at that time. They know because they know the times of the stars and they can predict them just like the astrologers of old. There never was a comet at that time. There never was such a phenomenon as described here. Well, in the 1960s, I clipped a clipping from the Albuquerque Journal, and I didn't date it, so I don't know what year in the 60s it was, but it tells about a phenomenon in the sky that appears only once in every 800 years. It says, Albuquerque residents will have an opportunity to view the cluster of stars shortly before dawn Christmas morning, according to Mrs. Vi Hefferman, sponsor of the Albuquerque High School Astronomy Club. Mrs. Hefferman said residents may locate the converging planets over the Sandia Mountains, a little to the south of Tijeras Canyon. The best time for viewing it will be between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m., she said. And then here is the account of the phenomenon. Early Christmas morning, this is from Boston. Early Christmas morning, three wandering stars will appear together to reproduce a rare celestial event that may have led the wise men to Bethlehem manger where Christ was born. The stars, Actually, the planets Venus, Jupiter, and Mars will mass that morning near the crescent moon in a phenomenon very like one that occurred in 7 BC, the year the Christ child is believed to have been born. In that year, the planets Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars came together in the heavens, an event that happens once every 800 years, said Walter Webb, assistant director of the Charles Hayden Planetarium and Boston Museum of Science. The massing of three planets will not be a visually spectacular event this year, said Webb, nor would it have been in the year Jesus was born. But to an astrologer, and the three wise men were thought to have been experts in the occult science of interpreting the heavenly signs, the planets coming together may have seemed fraught with meaning. Some historians believe the wise men came from the area of Mesopotamia. If so, said Webb, the apparent westward movement of these three planets caused by the rotation of the earth could have suggested to them that the newborn king they sought to be found in the west and in the direction of Judea. In those days, everything in the sky was described as a star, Webb said. The planets were wandering stars, meteors were shooting stars, and an event like the amassing of three planets would have been called a star. The massing of three planets on that morning suggested may have been what the ancients called the Star of Bethlehem. The planets do not come close enough together to appear as a single star, even to the naked eye. They remain three distinct points of light in a triangle. Since the three massed stars are close to each other for only a short time, Webb said, the wise men must have set off on their journey many days before the planets appeared together. The suggestion that the three massed stars may have been the Star of Bethlehem is not new, Webb noted. It was first proposed by the German astronomer Johannes Kepler, a mathematician and astronomer, in 1604. So now with that in mind, I'm not saying that is what the star was, but it is a very logical explanation and scientific. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. The word translated wise men in the King James Version is the Greek word aster. It is from the word aster that we get our word astrology and astronomy. And the wise men was translated as magi, and the star was aster. So these magi were an order of astrologers, a very ancient order in both Babylon and Persia. And in the book of Daniel, in the first chapter, we read that Daniel and his three companions were chosen to be schooled in all the lore of Babylon, all the learning of Babylon, and they were chosen to become members of this magi class. And they were astrologers, and they were counselors to the kings of that time. Now, Daniel, being a member of that class, was a counselor to Nebuchadnezzar and to Darius the Mede and to the other Persians. But he was different from the other magi in that he was true to his God, the God of his fathers, and he let it be known. You remember that is one of the things that got him into the lion's den, was he continued to worship the God of his fathers. And Daniel was not like Ezekiel or Jeremiah, who lived among the people of the Jews and prophesied to them. He and his friends were taken from their people to live in the palace. And so, though he was very interested in the fortunes of his people, he did not have very much contact with them. But he did write about the book of Daniel. He wrote the prophecy of the 70 weeks of years. The book of Daniel was the last, Jewish tradition tells us, was the last book to be included in the Hebrew canon of Scripture. The reason was because they didn't have it until late. But the Magi class in Persia did have Daniel's writings, and they did know of his prophecy of the 70 years. And these Magi in Daniel's time were, well, first during the Babylonian Empire, he was in Babylon with the king there, Nebuchadnezzar, you remember the story in Daniel. And then later in the palace at Shushan in Persia. But the astrologers in Persia were different from the astrologers in Babylon. The astrologers in Babylon were those who gave us the zodiac as it appears in the daily newspapers today, with this imagining the signs, the gatherings of the stars to be the crab, the ram, and the lion, and all of the other mythical characters of the zodiac. Those were actually gods that the Babylonians worshipped. But the Persians were never idolaters in the same sense as the Babylonians, because they never made images. They did not make idols or worship them. Their god was called Mazda, the god of fire and light. That's why General Electric chose the name Mazda as a trade name for their incandescent bulbs. He was the one god that they worshipped, and of course there were many, many spirits, the Persians believed, both malevolent and benevolent. But they had one thing in common with the Jews, that they did not worship many gods, and that's probably one of the reasons why in Daniel's time they were kind to the Jews. So Daniel's writings stayed with this Magi class, and here in Matthew's time, they were great calculators, and they were able to calculate Daniel's 70 years from the time that the Persian king had ordered the beginning of the rebuilding of Jerusalem. So when they saw this star in the east. Now let's read just what it says here. They said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star, his aster, in the east, and are come to worship him." Now, this clipping here said that, according to astronomers, that phenomenon of the three planets coming together happened in 7 BC, which works out very well with the chronology of the Bible. And it said, "We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now, in the Greek language, word order is not as important as it is in English. One rule is that the first word of a sentence is has emphasis, but they can, like in Latin, their word order can be in any order. So if we would reword this just a little bit, we could say, "For we and the East have seen his star and have come to worship him." And there is another way of understanding this too, as one of the new, as the English Standard Version has it. We have seen his star rising in the east and have come to worship him. Meaning that when they saw this star, these three planets come close together in the evening skies, they took note of it, and each night it would rise a little higher in the sky. And so the wise men set out on their journey, and when they got to Jerusalem, it was at zenith, at dusk. So it said they came. Let's read on here. And he sent them to Bethlehem. "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them and came and stood over where the young child was. It was at zenith at dusk by the time they got to Jerusalem. So here these magi, knowing the prophecy of Daniel, that the time was about to be when the king of Israel would come. Now, how did they know that to be the king of Israel? Well, the Babylonians were different from the Persians were different from the Babylonians in this sense also. They did not people the skies with lions and crabs and different signs of the zodiac. They divided those constellations into what they called houses, houses of different peoples, the house of the Persians, the house of the Medes, the house of Babylon, the house of Syria, the house of Judea, the house of Egypt, and so forth. Well, this particular phenomenon that occurred in 7 BC was in the house of the Hebrews. And they knew other prophecies from Daniel about a star shall rise from Jacob. And so this is one of the explanations for this star of Bethlehem. Again, this is not a new solution. This was suggested by Johannes Kepler in 1604. It's not that our faith in the Bible rests upon explanations. It's that explanations become probable when they agree with the Word of God. And it is the Word of God that is the rule, not the various explanations. "And when they were come into the house," you'll notice in Luke, we read that the shepherds came to the stable of an inn. But here is a house, meaning there was a period of time that had elapsed. And also because Herod was interested in how many children had been born in the previous 2 years. So here they were in the house, and this is why in the Catholic churches they celebrate the Epiphany, or the coming of the wise men, in January and not in December. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, all associated with royalty at that time. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return unto Herod, I suppose their suspicions first aroused when the king of Judea, with the reputation that Herod had, wanted to worship another king just born. This Herod murdered his own wife because he thought that she was plotting to kill him and seize the throne. He murdered his own son so that he would not be around to claim his throne. And he wants to worship a newborn king to replace him. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Before we pass on, I mentioned how often Matthew records the fulfillment of prophecies. So let's turn to each of these prophecies in turn as we go through. In the fourth verse of this chapter, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written of the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And then let's turn to the book of the prophet Micah, one of those minor prophets that we not too long ago were reading. It follows Jonah in the minor prophets. And in the fifth chapter, he's reading of the disaster that will come upon Judah. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of Judah, of troops. He hath laid siege against us, speaking of the enemy of that day. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah was the older name for Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. As we noted when we studied Micah, this is a prophecy of both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus. He shall come out of Bethlehem, of the land of Judah. But his goings forth have been of old, from everlasting. You'll notice that in Matthew, it is worded a bit differently. Thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. This is because this translation in Micah came to us directly from the Hebrew. In Matthew, the prophecy came to us through two translations. First, into the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, about 200 years before Christ, and then from the Greek into the English. And that's the difference, counts for the difference in the wording. And when they had departed, Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. That's the way he wanted to worship him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by the night and departed into Egypt. And remember, other than Shank's ponies going afoot, the only means of transportation they had were donkeys. They didn't even, only the military had horses in those days. When he arose, he took the young child with his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, which occurred in 4 BC, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. This is quoted from the 11th chapter of the prophet Hosea. So let's turn to the prophet Hosea and read what he says. Hosea follows Daniel. In the 11th chapter, When Israel was a child, then I loved him, and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam, and burned incense to graven images. The prophet here is speaking of Israel at the time of the Exodus. God had sent them into Egypt, and then 400 years later, after 400 years after Abraham's time, he sent Moses to take them out of Egypt. So the prophet here is recalling the time of the Exodus when he said, I called my son out of Egypt. You recall when Moses went before Pharaoh, his message was, Thus says the Lord, let my son go to worship me. So the prophet here says, I called my son out of Egypt. And then he goes on to tell them about their idolatries in the wilderness during the 40 years. What does that have to do with the birth of Jesus and his going to Egypt? This is another way of studying the prophecy of the Bible. It is, he did not say that Hosea prophesied that Jesus would come out of Egypt. He is drawing a prophetic parallel, that just as Israel was called out of Egypt in the Exodus, thus Christ, as a child, would be called out of Egypt back to his own land for the purpose of completing the redemption promised to Israel. Matthew has many of these prophetic parallels. It's not a prediction and a fulfillment. It is a likeness, a parallel, showing the truth involved in the event. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. He didn't take things like that lightly, and he would fly into a rage very easily, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which had diligently inquired of the wise men. So it took the wise men a long time to get to Judea. Then was fulfilled which was spoken of Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. Now, this is referring to the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. So let's turn to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, and the 15th verse. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they are not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy works shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Now this prophecy of Jeremiah had to do with the time of the destruction of Jerusalem. All of the Jews for deportation were gathered together at Ramah, just about 15 miles north of Jerusalem, and they were held there as prisoners until it could be arranged to herd them on foot to Babylon. And Ramah was in the land of Benjamin. Benjamin was a son of Rachel. So here the nation is personified as Rachel. You remember Rachel wept because she didn't have children. And then when the Lord gave her two children, when the second one was born, she died in childbirth. It was a very sorrowful story. This destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians was a very, very bitter time in the history of the Jews. The total destruction from their land and exile from it. During the 1920s, I think it was, the Tatars that had previously invaded Russia were settled in southern Russia and in Ukraine and near Sevastopol, and they were bitter resistors of Lenin and the communists. And Lenin had the whole nation of the Tatars uprooted and transferred to Eastern Siberia. And only after World War II were they permitted to return to southern Russia. It was a similar situation here for the Jews. And Jeremiah is recording this lamentation of the exile of the Jews, but warning or encouraging them, thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy works shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy, which they did 70 years later. This is another prophetic parallel that Matthew used, that just as there was weeping in Ramah at a time of disaster, just so was there such lamentation in the time when Herod had slaughtered so many innocent children and left their parents bereft. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child with his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when they heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside in two parts of Galilee. This is another part of history that has been very much confirmed by the historian Josephus. Very probably, Christ was born about 7 BC. The monk who formed the Gregorian calendar got his numbers wrong by 7 years. And Herod died in 4 BC. His son Archelaus was one of the four sons of Herod to inherit his realms. The others were Herod Philip, Herod Antipas, and I forget the third one. And then there was Archelaus. Archelaus was inherited Judea as his tetrarchy. And he was so cruel, so utterly dissolute, and just maliciously cruel, that the Romans themselves deposed him and banished him to France. So this is why the fear when they came out of Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead that sought the young child's life." And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when they heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, he already had a reputation in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into parts of Galilee, and that is why the family settled in Nazareth, and Jesus grew up in Galilee. It was predicted that he would be born in the city of David, which he was. It was also predicted that he would be called a Nazarene, and he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Now this is a predictive prophecy, and this is a fulfillment of that predictive prophecy, because the town of Nazareth did not exist in the time of the prophets. It had been built up since the end of the Old Testament. But the word Nazareth means branch. And in the Old Testament it is said in Isaiah and in Zechariah, "My servant, the branch." So here, he was born in the city of David, the royal city. He did grow up in Nazareth and was known as a Nazarene. And Jewish Christians for 600 years were called, not Christians, those in the Gentile areas were called Christianos, or Christians, followers of Christ. But the Jewish believers for 600 years were called Nazarenes.